and thank you, loyal podcast listeners, for joining us for another installment of our podcast from Italy. Good morning, Ashley.
Ciao, Jason. Oh, wow. It's been a while since we've actually had this recording get posted.
It is. We run, own, operate, and live at La Tavola Marche, a beautiful bed. No, we're not a bed and breakfast.
No, we're a farm inn and cooking school and agriturismo in the heart of the Marche.
A beautiful 18th of April this morning. It is early. The birds are chirping. The chickens are laying. The sun is out. It's frosty this morning.
I know. It was cold last night. One of those clear, cold nights. But God, it's gorgeous. It is definitely spring. I see the apple tree is blooming gorgeous, and the tree in front of our place that's
the
kind of a
bush.
Yeah, puffy hydrangea like thing, and that, oh God, I love it. I love spring. It's gorgeous.
Anyone who listens to this podcast with any regularity will know, since the you can tell we're getting back to work with the I don't know, it's been 3 weeks.
The inconsistency of our podcast will now take shape again.
once things get busy, it's not a big deal.
No, but we sat down twice and tried to record and had to get up and stop. Or then we were too tired and we were like, oh my God, this sounds flat. And we don't want to give that to you guys. No, we're all about quality podcasting.
It's more, it does. It takes a little more time than just sitting down and just spewing verbal gold, let's say.
True.
And into these microphones, there's cutting it together and there's adding stuff. I mean, it's just, I got to sit down. I just have to have an hour to sit down and put it together. So
we've had guests. We've been doing the garden, and man, it is. It's one of the first things. We hate cutting it from the lineup of stuff to do, but it's one of those ones where we're like, we'll just try to get it done tomorrow. So we're sorry, you guys. Thank you so much for hanging in there, sending us the notes saying, where's the next podcast? I love it. It always makes us know that we've waited just too long to put another one out. So we're back at it today.
Yes, and there's plenty to talk about.
Yes, there is.
We have Pasqua, Easter coming up here this Sunday. We have all the things going around in our area, and let's get to it.
We had Mars in opposition recently.
We did. Mars was crazy. I don't know if you live in a big city, you should have still been able to see it, but out here, Mars was just really big and bright and awesome. I need a real telescope.
I know you do. You said you don't want to because you'd get too into it. Like, not a nerd style, but like,
it's another one of those hobbies that is an expensive one.
You like expensive hobbies.
So I'm sure you can buy a cheapy telescope for a couple hundred euros, but I don't want to. I want an instrument, not a toy.
I know. And it's true. If you're going to get into it, you're going to get into it. But it is, it would be ideal out here. I mean,
well, we have very low light pollution, or almost nothing, because there's really nothing. And we're a little high, you know, we're up a little bit, and on a clear night, you can see everything. I mean, it's crazy how many stars are really out there. So it was really cool to see Mars and check it out. And that app that you put on your iPad that shows you the star, never worked. I never could figure it out.
Sometimes it works. There's a lot of those apps. With Mars shining bright, we've got all the birds passing through. We saw recently, we watched a documentary and on...
What does Mars being shiny bright have to do with birds passing through?
Nature.
Okay. Nature.
We were going
to bed the other night and we saw this crazy National Geographic. The BBC and National Geographic put together these series on like microclimates and the world and the microclimates of the world and different migration patterns of birds. And that's the one we watched. And these little birds, these sparrows and these what other birds are there?
Petey.
the songbirds, the little tiny songbirds, come from South Africa all the way back here to the same spot they were born in every year. So when Petey, we talked about Petey showing up, I think maybe last podcast.
Maybe.
I don't remember.
Petey's a little bird, little sparrow.
We've recorded this stupid thing three times.
I know. Who taps up starting about 5:30 in the morning, starts tapping on every single window in the house, making his way up and down. It is hysterical and yet annoying. If you're trying to sleep, it's like, Petey! away! Go away! We have to tell guests to close their shutters if they don't want Petey knocking in the morning. But they come back. It's just wild. Like,
yeah, about
we
2 weeks ago.
We kind of took it for granted.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, everyone, two and a half, three mm-hmm. weeks ago, whatever, everyone started showing up, and the nests are being made everywhere, and it's crazy in the mornings how much is going on?
There's a lot of activity.
There's a lot of activity. The cats are.
Oh my God. They're starting to get good. First, they would just watch them from the ground and almost cry. Like, oh, I want you. Now, they're up on the roof of the outdoor kitchen. Now they're getting into positions. They are stalking for sure. But it was cool. I just love knowing that these birds come back and. I don't know. It is. I love that part of the nature of living out here.
Yeah, it means that everyone's coming back. Everyone's waking up. Everyone's doing everything. Our chickens, our new chickens that we got started laying. We've seen more and more little baby
they're
eggs.
Tiny eggs.
In with the big eggs from the older hens. So that's good. So
and they're getting along. They're putting the eggs where they should. It's going good.
It is. Everything's going good. So that'll be good once people start coming. Once we get a solid flow of guests here at this weekend.
Yeah, it's that time of year where you just never know what's going to happen when you come back from. We went to the Coast grocery shopping yesterday and Gaji had planted onions and mowed the front yard.
So that was kind of cool. We went and ran errands and
He's
came back
so
and stuff crazy. Was done.
Oh my gosh. What about, should we talk about going to Carlo and Gigi's?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So we went, our friends who have the pig farm, we've spoken about them many a time. They are food heroes themselves, and they've got this great pig farm outside of Urbino, and they invited us to come up to a kind of, they call it a festival, kind of a big lunch. They called it B&B barbecue and something else. I wasn't sure. Burgers and something.
Well, they were doing this promotion for someone that's part of their association is doing a book about, here's a really funny story.
It's definitely not about 0 kilometers.
No, Ashley interviewed the guy and asked him about his 0 kilometer philosophy because he wrote this book about eating only from the land, blah, blah, blah. And his first answer was a 3-minute answer about how it's really not, he doesn't like to use the word 0 kilometer.
That's a marketing word.
That's a marketing
word. That's
a
corporate word.
And he likes to use
self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient. What was your next question right after
that? Okay, so for this discussion, your 0 kilometer diet, tell me, what was your favorite meal?
The eye roll that this man gave her and the look of disgust after he just went for 3 minutes of talking about was okay. Awesome. Totally deserved too.
Because
I was doing audio and I had the audio thing in my hand and I wanted to put it down and look at her and be like, what the hell
okay,
are you doing?
I had no idea this happened. I was trying.
You got tunnel. You weren't listening to his answer.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I wasn't listening to his answer. I had no idea he gave me the eye roll. We're trying to get into doing these videos and doing interviews and all of this. And I was so focused on the camera and trying to see if I was getting his head in shot and the light and all of this. I was so not paying attention that I was such a jerk myself. And Jason, when we left, was like, oh my God, that eye roll he gave you was classic. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I came home and watched it and I was like, oh my God, I was the D-bag. I was that jerko journalist who was just like, and not listening to anything he said. And so I learned a little lesson there. Ask a question. Listen. I think part of it is like he's speaking Italian. I'm not really. Yeah, I was just definitely not paying attention to his answer.
But it was really cool. They did. They wanted to do I don't know why they wanted to do hamburgers. Was there a story behind why they wanted to do it?
I think they want to get into burger parties. I don't
okay.
know.
So they did hamburgers and they did everything from scratch. So first, when we arrived, there was hard-boiled eggs, salt, and this crescia di Pasqua, the Easter cheese bread. And then they did homemade mayonnaise, homemade ketchup. Like, they wanted to do a real...
Well, they wanted to make it self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient,
so everything
yeah.
made by themselves. So the whole idea was going, we don't want to go get... you know, regular ketchup.
Yeah, we want to make it. We don't want to get buns. We'll make them. We don't want, they did a great job with everything. But here's what's really funny to me. And I love it because this makes me feel good when I screw things up that are tight. So they asked me what goes in hamburgers. And I told them nothing. Just salt and pepper. Just get ground up the meat. Make them into patties, salt and pepper. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
And you told them the ratio of meat and everything.
Yeah. And meat to fat and all that kind of stuff. So, okay. So then they do, but they can't do it that way because to them, it's just like for us with Italian food in America, how
basically like pasta and sauce. You think, how could you just put a little sauce? Exactly. I've made all this. I've got all these people coming. I've got to put all this stuff in the sauce and make a huge pot of sauce.
And I got to drown the pasta or the pizzas when we do the pizza class. And I tell people less is more. Don't put too much stuff on the pizza.
Which is so true.
Because it gets too heavy. It gets too soppy. It's too much liquid.
And what does everyone
do? Throws a ton. So
they try to like hide. It's hysterical because some people proudly do it and they're like, I don't even care. I love this on my pizza. And then other people try to add a bunch more, but like not have Jason kind of see it. Like they hide it under the cheese or something. And they're like, no, it's really good this way. And then sure enough, it's just a mess.
Okay. But getting back to it. So I tell them nothing in the hamburgers. No, nothing. Just ground meat, salt and pepper. Done. They did two kinds. They did one which was more like a meatloafy hamburger, right? It was like milk and eggs and Parmesan cheese and herbs and garlic and all this stuff. It was good. It was good. It's just not salt. And the other one they did was more towards what I told them to do, but they still put like
onion herbs.
And garlic and herbs and stuff like that. The hamburgers were great. They have them all. They had them all like pressed out. In Italy, okay, when you go to the butcher, they have hamburgers because the Italians do eat hamburgers, but they look like the thin flat ones you get at like Costco or Sam's Club or one of those like
it's a
hockey
patty.
Yeah, the patties because they have this little machine that presses them, and they will put the craziest thing on top of them. They'll put
shaved Parmesan
zucchini.
Yes.
Shaved zucchini, shaved eggplant or aubergine, and like a beautiful squash blossom or something.
It's bizarre.
It's bizarre. Or they'll put shaved curls of Parmesan cheese on the top. Or
and they're all laid out like very proudly presented at the butcher.
Wrapped up individually. Yeah. Like this is a special thing. Or they will take half patties and with a layer of like spinach in between and put the two half patties together. So you have spinach. It's kind of like,
it is not what we would think.
It's not what I would call a hamburger.
And ain't no T. Perry's.
No, no. But everything was great and everyone had a great time at this.
It was,
thing
it was really
and
fun.
Gigi's, and they did a great job. They pumped out hundreds of hamburgers.
But I think it is that. It's that idea that a burger couldn't just be the meat.
So simple. Just the way we think. You can't just have pasta and toss it with two spoonfuls of sauce.
Exactly.
That's not enough.
Exactly. So it is funny to see it go both ways.
Absolutely.
And
I love to see Americans screwing up Italian food and Italians screwing up American food. It's good.
And it was fun. Okay, so they did this thing that I want to do so bad for the wine. And
it's awesome.
It's awesome. So they took a huge wine barrel. So it's you get some height. And God, how big? We have a couple of cool
they have
wine
the
barrels
big,
around
big
here.
Wine barrels. That's the 3/4 the tall as a person.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they put a 57 liter Demijohn with a plug and a tube running to a brass.
Like spigot
that you would push this button down.
So they made what almost looks like a cross, a wooden cross.
Out of old wood.
And on the T cross, the crossbar, if you will, in the intersection is where they have the spigots. And I was loving it. I couldn't stop taking photos and video of it.
It was
like,
great,
this is the coolest thing. I want to do it for our pizza nights. And thankfully, Luke and Carolyn were there too. And Luke loves these kind of projects.
And he's like, oh, I have everything for that. He's like, I have a beautiful old brass.
So I want to do it for pizza night. But how do we... We wouldn't have like a 57 liter jug open for pizza night like
no,
that.
No, you would have to go get a small. It won't be as dramatic because it's a tiny. It's a tiny Demijohn, and we don't have enough people to plow through 50. Like, where's?
I know
they had a.
That's the only bummer.
They had 150 people. They can drink a couple Demijohns.
That was really cool, and they had a guy, Italian guy who was He sang the blues, and he was so funny. I immediately thought, I've never met an Italian-American Indian before, because he just had this darker
Native
color.
Native American Indian is derogatory
term. Oh, Native American, sorry.
So that, I'm politically correct.
It's my own people. I have like
That's
1/16th.
That's even more offensive
I know,
than
I
saying that.
So, he had just this dark skin, like this dark color, these lines in his face, all black, his hair pulled back in a ponytail, like kind of curled hair, and he was wearing turquoise jewelry. And I just, I immediately had this like kindred spirit thing with him. It was funny. And he talked about his music and going to Chicago to play the blues and playing with an all black band. And it was just awesome. And we got to listen to him play a little bit right before we left because we had to come back. We had a online cooking class. But
he was great.
He was great. He just had one of those. He was one of those old guys with a twinkle in his eye. And
he had great feature. Like,
yes.
He just
blue eyes.
Yeah, you wanted to talk to this guy forever.
Warm eyes.
Would never look at that guy and be like, oh, Italian.
No.
He looked Native American.
Didn't he? Yeah. There was just, and I told him that, and he said that's because he's been reincarnated.
So he was great. We saw a bunch of. Excuse me. We saw a bunch of people that we see through Carlo and Gigi that we don't get to see all the time. Mm-hmm.
That have
great,
been there like when we're butchering or for Easter.
It was really fun. It was a great afternoon.
They do a big festival party every May. So we always had guests, but we'll try to go this year.
It'll probably not happen.
I know. But that's when they have like 250 people. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's like the big hippie commune.
I know. But it was great. It was just, it's fun to... gosh, we still can't always enjoy events like that when they're with our friends because not like you feel like you have to work, but you want to help out. And Jason was great. Johnny on the spot with the chairs or somehow he ended up with a drill in his hand at one point and a toolbox. He looked in heaven. But I took a bunch of videos and we took some photos. So we'll hopefully edit something together and post it or hold on to it for a later kind of webcast. But it was fun. It was a gorgeous day to be at their farm. That's for sure. So what else is going on? The joys of a farmhouse in Italy. Yes. I thought we could just push pause. I'm talking for quite a while. Why can't we just push pause and the joys of living in a farmhouse? Okay.
So that brings us to our next topic, because what happened a couple last week happens. Something like this happens every year. These are the joys of living in a 300, 400-year-old house. It sounds really romantic, and it is. The house is gorgeous. It stays cool in the summer, and once you heat it up in the winter, it stays warm in the winter. It's very rustica. However, it needs constant babying. It needs constant care. Every year, before we open up, or right as we're opening up, the house, she balks a little bit. She lets you know that she still needs to be taken care of and paid attention to, and that this season will be like every other season, you'll have fits of rage, moments of joy, and also moments of feeling totally at a loss.
It is a reminder that she likes to remind us the house that we, oh, you don't know everything. Like you
there's still something to learn. And you need to respect that things can happen at any moment's notice. So we had guests last week, right in the middle of having these three families who are enjoying their spring holiday here, the septic system, or not the poopy water, but the gray water, decides to back up as it's going into the gray water area. So what does that mean? That means that somehow something clogged the tube that goes from all the sinks and all the showers to the main gray water area where it can then kind of go out and do its thing.
Well, you have like a house grid and a schematics of all of this, right? That there's it's laid out perfectly. I mean, you shouldn't have any problems finding this.
So how do we know where these things are? Well, Ashley one day last week went into the outdoor bathroom and noticed that there was 3 or 4 inches of disgusting. Well, not, I mean, it's sink water and shower water. Gray water is what it's called.
But you're like, what the hell?
Out in the outdoor bathroom. It somehow backed itself up from the place where it goes into the big tank and then pushes itself. Water finds the path of least, or the easiest place to get out, and that's the lowest drain, which is out in the outdoor bathroom.
So Jason's grocery shopping and I empty the entire outdoor bathroom, which is right now being used as storage for a lot of the outdoor furniture and things. Plus all the cleaning supplies and a lot of paper products and whatnot as well.
Out there is a storage,
like a little dry storage.
There's two bathrooms out there. One we use as a bathroom in the summer, which now has pool furniture and chairs and tables and all that. And the other side has soap and extra tablecloths and towels and linens and blah, blah, blah. And there's also an outdoor freezer, or there's a chest freezer out there, a air compressor, a barbecue. It's full.
Yeah, it's freaking full, especially since we hadn't really had it opened up yet. Thankfully, we had whatever. That thing had to be emptied and the whole place cleaned. And but plus, that's not even the worst part. We didn't know what the problem, like how to solve the problem.
So I looked.
So anytime you turned on a sink, water was just pushing up through this hole.
Turn a sink. Anytime. Take a shower anytime you use water. So I get out the schematic. We have a schematic of the fognatura system, the septic system. And these tanks are buried at certain points around the house. You find them by measuring from the different points on the schematic to from two different points on the house to see where those two points will intersect. For instance, you measure 5 meters, 3 centimeters from the left corner of the house. And then from the left corner of the first door, you measure 8 meters, 26 centimeters. And where those two points intersect each other is where you dig.
There's a lot of guessing involved.
Sometimes you find them, sometimes you don't. This house was not made, when it was restored, was not restored in the way that I would have restored it.
I might not call it up to code.
No, I would not call it up to code at all. So we go and try to find, and I'm looking in all the spots that it says on this map, and nothing's backed up. Nothing's, because when you take the thing off the lid, you should see all this water.
That was part of the whole confusion going, where is the backup? Like, we should be seeing water coming out somewhere else, too. Or, I mean, you're looking at all of these covered holes that we know of, the schematics, and it's just like, it's not making sense. Where is this?
So I call the, not the plumber, but the guy who deals with the septic systems. And they tell who is the person you should call, because they'll suck it out, and they have these high-pressure hoses that they put back up through the drains, and they'll blast it with pressure. So if there's someone puts a whatever down the toilet,
a toilet
drain,
cap. Yeah. Or, I mean, not a toilet cap, like a cap to a water bottle.
Oh yeah, and it
stuck
goes
something
down the drain and plugs everything. The pressure will build up and just boom, shoot it out. Well, those guys, this is a Tuesday, and they say, "Oh yeah, we could come Friday-ish." And no one wants to come out with any
urgency.
And I realize it's Italy, and urgency would be the next day, which is fun. I was just looking for a guarantee that, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Finally, I just call our local plumber, and he comes out, and he figures it out that, oh, yeah, the part where we need to get to is buried under our outdoor back patio. They did put in 3-4 access points, but they forgot to, when we redid the patio, here's the schematic. I need to make sure that all the things have access to it. Well, they did give us access to the one hole we need, but they didn't put the access panel exactly on top of where the buried access hole would be, the buried access cover would be. So we got to tear up, I don't know, a good 2 square meters of our backyard stone patio.
Well, side note, while that's happening on the other side of the house, guests are waiting to start a cooking class.
Oh yeah, we're doing pizza class for 8 while this is all good. We're doing pizza class for 8 right before this is going on.
Can I get anyone any wine? Let's hang out for 5 minutes. Jason will be right with us.
So thank God the guy comes. He's like, all right, here it is. We break up the patio. He digs down. He finds it. He pops a hole in, because now we can't find the access, the little cover to it exactly. He's like, screw it. We'll just bust a hole in the tube. I'll find the plug, and then we'll just patch the pipe. So that's what he did. He busts a hole in the pipe. All this stuff starts coming out, relieves the pressure. you know, snakes out where the tube is. The tank was fine because nothing was actually getting to the tank because it was blocked up. Everything goes down, no problem. And, you know, once the people leave 2 days, 3 days later, then we just fill back in the hole, put those stones back down, a little bit of
it looks great. Mortar. You can't tell, but it was a cluster F disaster feeling for our first guests going, OMG, this is how to start the
first season. And we're dealing with water everywhere and holes. And it's just,
you're never totally prepared, or I don't know. You're never what? Sorry.
You're never, I guess, prepared. You can never, nothing surprises
anticipate.
Me. I can never anticipate what's going to happen. Every time that I come back from grocery shopping, if I see Ashley meet me at the, if she meets me at the car with a look on her face, I know that it's something to do.
He gets out going, oh, great.
And when I pulled up the driveway and saw all the stuff out of the outdoor kitchen, it was like, or outdoor bathroom, was like, what's going on here? So, problem solved. I learned a little bit more about our septic system and how effed up it is.
Well, it's really right on time. Easter's a little late this year. Our past was a past.
Let's go talk about Easter's of past.
That's what I mean. Past Pasqua. Easter's of past. We've always seemed to have some problems. So this is pretty on par for the start of our year.
It's always the house not really wanting to wake up from.
Correct. In fact, our very first Easter, we had snow. And it was snowing.
Frozen pipes.
No water in the morning, snow, and we thought, oh my God, this is the first event we're hosting for Italians, for anything. And we've been here 3 months, and it's snowing the day of this event and the day before. Jason and my sister are making bread in the outdoor wood-burning oven, shuttling it in the snow. And so that was a slight disaster, but not so much as the pasta on that Easter lunch. You want to talk about that?
I think we have.
We'll mention it. Okay, it's part of our wonderful Easter past.
So there's Pasqua, which is Easter Sunday, and then Pasquetta, or Luna di Pasqua, which you spend Easter with your family, and you spend Little Easter or
Easter Monday
with your friends. And it's very traditional, very popular to go out to agriturismos or restaurants for lunch with your friends. So we hosted
like 23 Italians.
23 Italians we've been in the country three, you know, whatever. We arrived on basically Christmas, and here it is Easter, and we're doing our first function. And I try to make strozzapreti. And strozzapreti are called strozzapreti strangled priests. And these came out.
We all sat all night long.
All night long. Taking these little pieces of dough and twisting them into their little strangled priest shape.
Yep. And it was you and me and my sister and my dad was here. Yeah. And so there's four of us working for hours by the fire.
Tables filled with this stuff, drying, twisted and drying and just sitting there. Well, I don't remember what I did wrong. I probably didn't cook it in enough water.
That's it. It was not a big enough pan.
It wasn't a big enough pot. And being American, you know, not knowing yet that you have to cook fresh pasta in tons of water, I just did a normal small pasta pot for 23. Like what I would cook pasta in now for four people, I cook for 23. For 23 people. Now, if I'm cooking pasta for 23 people, I get a propane tank and a portable stove, you know, portable big
called
candy
the people
stone.
Cooking pot.
I get out my people cooking pot, what I call my people cooking pot because you could cook a person in it. Fill it up with water. We're talking liters and liters, like 50 liters of water to cook, you know, 3 kilos, 4 kilos of pasta or whatever. A lot of water.
And thinking about this pasta that we made, it was a drier pasta.
Starchy. It's semolina and water, so it's a real starchy type pasta. So you need the water to dilute the starch. Otherwise, what happens is when you cook the pasta, it gets gummy and horrible and it all sticks together, which is what happened to this pasta.
Yep.
It was
22 people ready for it to eat.
And they had one pasta. This was the second pasta.
Yes.
And I screwed it up. And it's one of the worst. Not, I mean, everyone
but
was cool.
What happened?
everyone was cool. It was our commercialista, Fabio, and his friends. And everyone was really cool. And they say, oh, it doesn't matter. You should serve it. And I wouldn't serve it. And we just did.
There was only like three people. Like Jason was like, oh my God, get in here. Get in here. And he ran into like the back little pantry area and was like, try this. And he was like, I can't serve this. I can't serve this. And it was like, oh my God. And so he immediately grabbed the Barilla and thought, well, I'd rather serve
Barilla than this, which is not good. So learning experience, that was probably the worst. That was the first one, and one of my one
that
of
was
my
our very first Easter.
Grande flop.
Second Easter, gosh, families always seem to be involved as well in these disasters. Your mom and Bob were in town, and Easter morning,
pump breaks,
no water to the house. So there's family and guests here, and that was a pleasure. Again, Jason has to go. This is, again, early on. This was a different plumber.
Easter Sunday.
So,
this was Massimiliano, the electrician.
Oh, yeah, the electrician gets the pump. It's still water related.
So, Easter Sunday, knock, knock, knock on our little place early, early in the morning. It's my stepdad. Dude, you got no water. Yeah, what do you mean we have no water? It's April. It's tons of water. The rivers are filled, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, turn on this faucet. No water. Why? Pump is busted. So we have a cistern that holds, I have no idea, tons of water that constantly flows from our natural sorgente up in the hills. And that pump broke. So no water is arriving from the hills to – or I'm sorry. No water is arriving from the cistern pumped up to our house. The cistern's full. Their pump is broken. What do you do? Well, you have to get the electrician. It is Easter Sunday. So I call Fusciani, who's our neighbor. Anyone who's been here for the Feel Like a Local Fridays have met Fusciani. We jump in his car. We go over to into town to try to find Massimiliano because no one knows exactly. You know he's POBK. He lives in POBK. But you just see him walking around or at the bar. I don't know exactly where his house is. So we go to one of the bars. Does anyone know where Massimiliano lives? Oh, yeah, sure. Right up around, blah, 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 blah. Knock on his door. He's having breakfast with his family. I felt horrible. Massey,
Wait,
so
it's
sorry.
Also not just you. It's a brigade of, like, you guys have collected men along the
oh,
road.
Oh, yeah, because...
You guys are, like, two cars deep, or...
No, I was with Fusciani, and Fusciani saw one of his buddies at the bar, and his buddies hopped in the car as well to come up. So it's, like, three guys coming to look for this guy. He's having... Poor guy's having breakfast with his... Family, no problem.
And children.
I'll be there in 15 minutes, blah, blah, blah. Sure enough, he comes out. He didn't fix it, but he rigged it so that we can still have some kind of water. But we had, I don't know, I don't even remember how many people here, but it was, oh, yeah, there's, good morning, Easter Sunday, and you can't flush a toilet. And
Massimiliano also wouldn't even take a penny.
He wouldn't take money, which I don't understand.
That was incredible.
So that was our second Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Then what other Easter shenanigans?
We've had it where I think it was either last year. No, 2 years ago. Thank God we walked back into the kitchen to have some tea because the oven broke. Remember the...
Oh! Da, da, da.
No, it was one of those things where it was like, oh my God, you had to take the whole thing apart.
Oh, that was so... Yes.
And so it was like, thank God it didn't happen the next morning.
Night before Easter Sunday, or Luna di Pasqua, Easter Monday, when I'm doing all this food, we go into the kitchen to turn on the oven, or I'm sorry, to make tea, and I noticed that none of the power in the kitchen is working. And that's really weird. Why? Well, somehow there was a short in my stove that shorted out all the electricity just to the kitchen. The rest of the house had electricity because everyone would have knocked on our place. Where's the – but thank – so I have to pull the oven out. I have to find – oh, it's not the oven that shorted out. It's
right.
For some reason the stove. Why did the stove get shorted out? Because when we cleaned the stove cleaning products that night, somehow the – water got into the electrical system that is the electric igniter on our stove, on our gas stove. So when you turn it and hold it down, it goes click, 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 click. That's it's an electric igniter. So somehow water got into some of that mechanism.
Hold
on one second.
Neighbor stopping by.
Okay, I don't remember where we are exactly because, see, that's what I'm talking about. We cannot get through a podcast 35 minutes without getting sidetracked. So
pop in.
So I believe we were talking about Pascua's past. And
we were talking about the oven and that you had to take the oven apart.
Oh, God, yeah. So at midnight, the night before Easter Eve, we're taking apart the stove and the oven, trying to find out where the short is coming from. And thank God we did that night, because I was putting in a leg of lamb because we were doing lunch the next day. So I would have woken up to know. It's always something.
It's always something. And to top it off, what I also love is the reality of Jason making two beautiful lamb in two different styles. And the end of that night, we don't even want the leftovers. We've been dealing with it the whole time that we have.
We normally have cereal.
A bowl of cereal.
So that's it. The season is officially underway. 2014. Woo! Here we go.
Here we come.
And there's plenty to do. So now that it's late morning, now that we came back, I gotta go. So let's...
I know. It's an hour or something later, all of a sudden passes. So it is. It's time to get back to work. We can't thank you guys enough for sticking with us and listening to the podcast and coming back to download. And sharing it with a friend as usual. Hopefully we'll do one sooner than a month or so.
let's tease the song of the week, and then we'll bring it home.
Sure, we're back to Fred Brusculioni. He's a great one. Sogno di estate.
Yes, sogno di estate. And bring us home, and let's get
All right. Home. Thanks for downloading us. You can find us on letavolamarche.com, LatavolaMarche, letavolamarche.blogspot.com. You can also check out our videos on YouTube, Vimeo. We'll be posting more soon, La Tavola Marche, on Facebook as well. And on Instagram, you can follow me at Ashley Bartner.
And again, a big thank you for everyone who did one or several or all of the online cooking classes.
Didn't even say that. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm saying it now.
Okay.
And thank you guys. It was really incredible little experiment, and to know that so many people were digging it and took it week after week
and
were enjoying it was really, really cool. And we'll come back and do something. We'll have something for you guys who did take them, a little thank you over the summer. And we'll come back and start doing them in the fall again, hopefully with better technology, better cameras, yes, better everything.
We're ahead of the curve. We're just too hip.
No, we're not.
Oh, here comes the fighter planes. I don't think anyone could hear it. Oh, another one! The cats are going crazy. It is so much fun. 7 years later, and it still is exciting.
We are in, I don't know if you guys heard that over the microphones. It was pretty loud. We are in a zone where they do low-level practice for NATO planes, NATO fighter planes. So it's pretty cool, especially this time of year when the weather starts getting nice. They'll come over usually at this time.
Yep, little dipty-doos and flips and...
I know.
That's why it is exciting.
You can see all the pods and stuff on the bottom of their planes. They get really, really low. So it's pretty cool.
All right. Have a great week, you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. We're going to play the song. And again, La Tavola Marche, LatavolaMarche. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Addio, sogno d'estate, col vento dell'autunno te ne vai, ma dove vai? Senza di me. Addio, sogno d'amore, non so se a primavera tornerai, ma che farai senza di me? Sono i sogni del cuore, le dolcissime ore vissute con te. Con che gioia ed amore ricordo ogni fiore che ho avuto da te. Addio, sogno d'estate, col vento dell'autunno te ne vai, ma che farai? Senza di me. Senza di me.